Happy Mother's Day. I want to steal a page out of Joel Osteen's book and start the talk today with a joke. Which usually my jokes are laced throughout, but I want to be clear that this is circa Joel Osteen. There's a story in the Bible, this is no joke, that there was a woman who was getting ready to be stoned to death because she was caught in the act of adultery. And that was a sin, persecuted by being stoned to death. And there's a crowd of people around, all of them with stones in their hands, ready to cast them at her. And a person in the crowd saw that Jesus was nearby and thought that he would test Jesus and say, you know, this woman has committed a sin that is, she deserves to be stoned to death. What do you say to that? And famous line that Jesus, one of Jesus's taglines, I guess you could say, was, "Let he among us who has not sinned be the first to condemn." And the crowd kind of rustled a little bit, and there was a little old woman who kind of pushed her way through the crowd, big rock in her hand. And she gets all the way up to the front, and she just whips it at this girl. And Jesus goes, "Mom!" I'm really glad you guys got that. So, I gave a Father's Day talk last year, and what I did for Father's Day was use some examples of fatherly figures in my life and the lessons that I learned from them to help me to live a life full of purpose. And I want to give a similar talk today. It's important for me to recognize my mom, who is here on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. And I could spend hours talking about the lessons that I learned from her in my life, which I'm not going to do today. I want to start with someone who is possibly the greatest mother of our century, of this century. No, not you. I want to talk about Mother Teresa for a second, who was called into, had the calling to become a nun very early in her life. And one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard her say was when someone asked her about how she got called to serve the poor, which was a huge step away from just being a nun and what she did as a nun. She said that she felt a calling within her calling to do more. And when I think about mothers, I think about the calling within the callings of motherhood, and how, you know, having little children and watching, you know, watching Danielle be a mom and not really know, like, what's next. We don't really know what's next and what the next calling is for her. And there's always this process of recognizing a calling within the calling. I love that how Mother Teresa put that. So Mother Teresa had won over 100 prestigious awards, right? She won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1997, the most prestigious of the awards that she won, but she won awards from like 15 different countries. Like she won the Presidential Medal of Freedom from the United States, but she won the significant, the award that was comparable to that from 15 different countries. She not only served the poor, she immersed herself in their lifestyle. She volunteered her entire life, which means she never earned any money to do what she did. She lived with them. She begged for food. She begged for clothes. She begged for water while still serving an enormous number of homeless and ill people. The selfless acts go on and on in her story. The examples are too many to count of people whom she cared for and loved. And while she wasn't a doctor by any means, she gave her love to these people who needed it most. So when I think about Mother Teresa, I think about that selfless act, that answering the call within the call, stepping up and saying yes, when I can only imagine she was scared to do that. She was scared to cross the world, to live in poverty, to help people, but she said yes. I do want to talk about my mom a little bit. We have this, my mom and I have this song that we use the catchphrase for it when either one of us are going through something tough. And the catchphrase, the chorus is breathe and smile. Simple, breathe and smile. In the song it says, breathe and smile and the world will set you free. And that's something that my mom and I have had as a go-to, almost like a release button, a reset button. If she knows I'm going through something, she'll just send me a text message or call me and say, breathe and smile, and vice versa. But it's a little bit more important to me as I grow and have children of my own. Breathing is something that we all do. You can't stop, and if you do, we'll miss you. But it's the key. There's another line in the song that says, breathing is the key to another reality. And if you think about that, I use an example with my son, Emerson, all the time, because he'll get frustrated and he'll get into this experience where he's having there's a situation happening where he's experiencing it and there's nothing else happening, right? Like, we've all seen a kid go through something where nothing can get in, nothing can get out. It's just this, like, in a vacuum. And I've noticed so many times with him when I ask him to breathe, to take a deep breath, it's like the color in his skin changes. Everything about him changes. When he can take a deep breath and exhale, he's able to listen. He's able to look at things from a different perspective. And it literally changes his reality. Because before he took that deep breath, all he could see was what was right in front of his face and what was making him mad or frustrated. But taking that deep breath, unlocking the door to another reality, is as simple as changing your perspective of the situation you're in. So the other part of that phrase, breathe and smile, is the smile. Now, Mother Teresa once said, Mother Teresa has about 15 or 16 quotes about smiling. It was really important to her. I can imagine sometimes she would be dealing with somebody who was sick or homeless, and all she would do is just smile with them. Her quote is, let us greet each other with a smile, for a smile is the beginning of love. And that was her message, that was her story, was love. Another mother that I want to talk about is Mother Mary, Jesus's mom. Now, there's this crazy, I don't even know what to call it, phenomena in the Bible where we lose track of Jesus for about 20 years. We hear a story about him when he was 12, and then the next story we hear about him, he's 30. And there's a lot of theories about where he went, what he did. But the way I see it is, you know, when we talk about our children and children today, some of the most formidable years are those 15 to 25. Some of the most memorable experiences happened to us then. Some of the most life-defining experiences happened to us then during those times. And I don't doubt for a second that those experiences happened to Jesus and that his mom was right there with him. Mary was the only person that was there when he was born and was there when he died and was there when he arose from the dead. There's no doubt in my mind the connection that he had with his mom. And let's face it, he had dirty diapers too, right? She had to make him meals every day too. She had to discipline him when he wouldn't listen. I would also say this. I don't care if he's the Son of God or not. No man walks on water without a strong relationship with his mother. Yeah. In fact, when Jesus performed his first miracle at the wedding at Cana, the story goes that he was at this wedding. He had not performed any miracles. People just kind of were murmuring about him, but nobody really knew who he was or what he was all about. And at the wine at the wedding, they ran out of wine. And his mom, Mary, who was also at this wedding, came to Jesus and basically said, "It's time. It's time to start your ministry." And he said, "No, it's not." he said, "No, it's not. This is not my time." And I'm sitting here not making eye contact with my mom right now because I've had that moment, that wedding moment with my mom where she's told me that it's been my time. It's time to start your ministry. It's time to start whatever. It's time, Dave. It's time. And I would say, "No, it's not." But what happened was Mary knew her purpose from the day the angel told her that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. Mary knew her purpose. Her purpose didn't stop when she gave birth to Jesus. Her purpose was to nurture him as a child. Her purpose was to help him during those formidable years where we don't hear much about. Her purpose was to push him when he wasn't feeling ready, when she knew he was ready. Her purpose was to be there when he died. Her purpose was to be there when he rose from the dead. And her purpose was to carry on his ministry long after he left. So he filled the water bottles. He had the servants fill these jugs of water. And he said, "Bring me the jugs." And they filled them up with water and they brought them to him. And he blessed the water. And he sent it back. He said, "Go take this to the master of the ceremony who was performing the wedding." And he said it was the best wine that he'd ever drank. That was Jesus' first miracle, was turning water into wine. And I firmly believe that if his mom wasn't there, that would not have happened. His mom was the conduit, the foundation for him to start, to perform his first miracle, to start his path, to start his ministry. And from there on, I mean, you know the rest of the story. And so today, the last mom, I could not possibly do a Mother's Day talk without talking about my wife. I know I talk about her a lot. I'm sorry. She's awesome, though. And for everything that she's done and for everything that we have, I have no greater gift than watching her be a mom. Her dedication and determination and her sacrifice is so incredible. I always say that one of the greatest gifts a father can give to his children is showing them the way he loves their mother. And I firmly believe that the greatest gift a mother can give her children is the innate, selfless love. The ingrained, selfless love that kisses a scraped knee. The innate selfless love that spends sleepless nights by their children's cribs, making sure that everything is okay. Danielle has sacrificed so much in her life from my perspective. She has sacrificed in our relationship. She has sacrificed as a mom. She has sacrificed. There are so many pieces of her that just get pushed to the background because she's got diapers to change or laundry to do or meals to cook. This list could go on and on. Through it all, the whole entire time, she's pushing things back. She's pushing things back. She's sacrificing things in her life. She's getting her college degree. She's getting her master's degree. She's running marathons. She's traveling to see her friends in New York City. She's doing all these things because she, while sacrificing and while putting her family first, there's a purpose in Danielle's life that she'll never let go of. Because, you know, they say that in the airplane, when the air masks come down, if there's an emergency and the air masks come down, they always say, put the oxygen mask on your mouth first, because if you're trying to help other people, you'll lose oxygen and you'll pass out. You can't help anybody else if you're not helping yourself first. Danielle is the quintessential representation of that for me. She does all these other things for everybody, but she never forgets who she is. As a mom, she is incredible. This woman gets about, on average, 3 to 4 hours of sleep every night sometimes, especially when she was in school. We never go without a meal on the table. I never go without a pot of coffee in the morning. She's just got these things where she's so loving and so nurturing that it just comes second nature to her. There are too many times where I and the kids don't appreciate her. And so today, I'm going a little bit on and on, I know. But today, I'm using her as an example to show what a mother's love looks like from another perspective. It looks like sacrifice for me, but for her, it's what it's important to her. It looks like sleepless nights to me, but for her, the act of preparing dinner or preparing coffee the night before is an act of love. Even though she may be saying other things under her breath while she's doing it. It's an act of love. I want to close today with another Mother Teresa quote, because this is really important for me to explain to the women in the sanctuary today and also to the men. This idea of nurturing, selflessly loving another, caring, compassion, this doesn't just begin and end with women and mothers. This is about being love. I don't care what your gender is. You have an opportunity to be love in your life and in somebody else's life. You have an opportunity to show love for another person. It may not be your children or your stepchildren or your nieces or nephews. It could be a stranger that you're sitting next to in a restaurant. You'll have an opportunity today, tomorrow, every day for the rest of your lives to be love. Mother Teresa said, "I'm a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world." And I believe that you are a pencil in the hand of a writing God sending a love letter to the world. You are the utensil. You are the tool that God is using to send his love letter to the world. So kiss your mothers, kiss your children, but most importantly, find out, recognize where it is in your day today where God is using you to write a love letter, where God is using you to express love today, and be that pencil. Write your love story. Happy Mother's Day.